Welcome back to another episode of Red Tinted Glasses. Today we are going to preview the weekend's match against St Mirren and also discuss what's been a fairly eventful week off the field and for us, Callum, with the podcast.
Definitely. I feel like there's been a contrast between the podcast and how we've been feeling about that then Aberdeen. A bit of a contrast there, but you know, it's a highs and lows. We're enjoying it, and thanks to everyone that's tuned in to the recent podcast too.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the start of the week, we released the much anticipated, I think it's fair to say, interview with Jack Grimmer. I know Jack's probably listening as he's been tuning into most recent shows. And Jack, I'm sure you'll be delighted to know you're now the most popular show that we've had. Not the most watched yet because, unfortunately, Rangers fans didn't infiltrate it to boost the views. But first of our shows to get over 300 listens and very nearly at 700 views. So yeah, it's and some fantastic feedback on the back of that episode as well, Callum.
Definitely. Everyone seems to have enjoyed it and I'm very, very happy. It's great to hear people's feedback. And what I will say before we move any further, if you're watching on YouTube, please make sure you do subscribe with notifications on because we've got more to come in future and you don't want to miss it. And follow on all your listening platforms as well and Twitter too as well if you feel like it.
Yeah, it's been a good week for subscribers. We're closing in on 250 and hopefully we can reach that. But just quickly on the Jack Grimmer, if you haven't tuned into it, I do urge you to, and I really appreciate some of the feedback that we've gotten. You know, some people that were maybe not open-minded to Jack's career and a bit negative towards him leaving at such a young age, but have then gone on to listen to the episode and realise what a career he's then gone on to build for himself and the reasons behind that. And it's almost like a justification. Not that I think he ever needed it, but for those listening anyway.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was just interesting to hear sort of the thoughts on the process and all that kind of thing as well and how he felt going down there, developed his game and things. I thought it was interesting anyway, not only to justify himself, as you said.
Yeah, absolutely. And then obviously you got your excitement with the Tom Grennan feature as well.
Exactly.
And actual Tom Grennan quoted the podcast as well. I'm surprised I didn't hear your screams.
I know, I've been buzzing about it all week, honestly. Loving life.
Yeah, and we had a bit of different content last night. Sean McDonald, local darts player, qualifying for Q School, was nice enough to give us an interview over some more prominent darts podcasts. So we do appreciate that. I know it's a bit of different content, but it's just nice to support local players in this time, raise awareness of them, gain support. Obviously, he's looking for sponsorship at this time. But yeah, just want to thank everybody. Obviously, we'll thank Skylights for letting us use YRA just now as well. Just the continued support that we've been getting. It's been great, hasn't it, Colin?
Yeah, 100% echo that completely. We started this not really knowing what we're doing. I still don't really think we know what we're doing exactly, but there's people getting behind it and we are generally very, very appreciative for all of you because you don't need to listen to two specky twats, just you just waffling on most of the time, but here we are. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad you've made putting the insults before someone else does.
Yeah. But
speaking of support, I suppose that links us in nicely to the first talking point of the podcast if we get to footballing matters. And support was something that was shown from the board and Dave Cormack to the manager on Monday night. Derek McInnes receiving a vote of confidence. Thoughts on that?
It was a bit of a whirlwind, that wasn't it? Sort of people in the know turned out not in the know, and then that they come out with that. Usually a vote of confidence, not a very good sign either. But to be fair, I've got to respect them for actually coming out and addressing it rather than just leaving everyone sort of lingering in the lurch, wondering as the week goes on what's going to happen. But we'll see how it goes. It's sort of a bit like Football Manager when they go, you've got 5 points to get in 9 games, you need to do it. We'll see what happens. But not usually a good sign of vote of confidence.
Yeah, poor Harold Ingolfason on Twitter.
Took a barrage.
The build-up was there.
Yeah.
The build-up was there, the excitement was there, and it fell, unfortunately, flat on its face. But like you say, these votes of confidence, they go one of two ways. Mm-hmm. Never tend to go well. But fair play to the board for coming out and addressing the speculation. Definitely agree with that. Mm-hmm. But big week coming up. Including starting next week, Dave Cormack's got his Q&A. You submitted a question for that?
I've actually not submitted a question, mainly because I can't be bothered getting my season ticket out from wherever it is. I don't really know right now to put in my Don's ID. Can't be bothered with that. But I'm enjoying some of the people that have been submitting them. My favourite one so far is a Jaffa cake or a biscuit. That's I hope he does answer it. I hope he answers it. It's that age-old question. But it'll be interesting to see how they filter some of them out, let's say. I think they will maybe be a bit more honest than we expect them to be, but it'll be interesting to say the least.
Yeah, a couple of my favourites. Daniel Forbes, I think he said, do you spell Coyer with your alphabet spaghetti? That was amusing. And then Mr. E wants to know that he's approaching 50 years old and his teeth are a bit yellow. What products can he use to get teeth as white as Dave Cormack?
So smart. I like
See if that gets through the filter.
People are really taking advantage of this, aren't they, right now? I hope at least, okay, they probably won't get asked, they've got, but I hope whoever's filtering the questions that get asked, at least enjoy some of those ones. That would be nice.
Yeah. They say that no topics off limits, but it'll be interesting to see that, I don't know the right word to use here, but how harsh some of the questions that they get put to him. I just wonder how live it will actually be. I suppose we'll be able to gauge by the reaction of Cormack to some of the questions, or if he's given a wee heads up on some of the questions that'll be coming his way. Mm. So see what sort of, he can prepare some of his answers.
Yeah, but I actually want to ask you now, is a Jaffa cake a cake or a biscuit? That's what I want to know.
I'm going to say it's a cake.
I would say it's a piece, not either, because it's not got enough about it to be classed as a cake. I feel like it's too small, but it's obviously not a biscuit. I'd call
it's
it
not a
piece
because the base isn't hard.
Exactly, I'd call it a piece, but it's not big enough to be a cake, is it?
Oh, you sound like Gemma. Like, oh, can I get a fine piece with my cup of tea?
Yeah, that's definitely come from my grandparents there. Yeah, yeah. Piece. Yeah, well, yeah. There we go. Anyway,
digress. Yeah. McInnes in his pre-match conference last night, obviously coming out and being thankful for the support that the board have shown to him, unsurprisingly, really.
Mm-hmm.
But an interesting comment on the back of that, saying that he's glad the situation has been cleared or sorted for the time being, as it will alleviate pressure from the players. Mm-hmm. As going into last week's game, there was far too much pressure put on his players.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, did he not, in the press conference beforehand, say, like, oh, we need to win this game, we're going to win it or whatever, which doesn't help. But regardless, I mean, if he thinks that's pressure, could you imagine what it would be like if they were on this run of form and fans were actually allowed in the ground? All it is people on social media. Like, I mean, you can get flooded with your mentions or whatever, but he's not even on there. Some of his players, okay, they definitely are. Well, yeah, might have a few burners. but players definitely on there, but at the same time, put the phone down. Like, and it's not real pressure, is it? It's not real pressure. It's not 10,000 fans or whatever booing you, yelling at you or anything like that. That would be real pressure. It's not real pressure.
Yeah, I don't understand how the players are feeling the pressure, because like you said, if there was fans in the stadium, they would understand the pressure. And I think opposition teams playing us would, I don't know if benefit's the right word, but if us as fans were there, would almost play to get the fans to turn on the team, given the run of form that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And Derek himself would feel pressure more than probably he is feeling if the fans were in the ground, because there is a lot of discontent. And I think Chris Crichton said on Sports Sound that it's a small minority that are McInnes out, I suppose we'll say, but I don't think it is a small minority anymore. I think, and I'm not going to say it's a large majority, I think though it's the momentum is swinging towards folk being in favour of change.
Yeah, I wouldn't maybe say it's even a majority, but I wouldn't say it's probably at least 50-50 split, you would think. And even people maybe not like actively McInnes out, like I post some funny ha-has on Twitter, but like if he was to turn it around, for example, I'd probably rather that, save the transition period, if he could turn it around and okay, I'll eat my words, put my hands up, yeah, okay, whatever. Problem is, don't see that happening. But he's also come out and said that for a lot of teams, third place is the holy grail. I don't know if you saw that. We finished fourth the last two seasons, so And he's like, we can still get there. It's not exactly, I mean, this would be the type of trophy you'd get for a third place, also known as the Carabao Cup, my football manager save. Follow me on there, check me out. Cheap plug. But it's ridiculous to come out with that sort of statement. And the fact we've not even achieved getting to the Holy Grail the last two seasons, and it's not looking good this season, it's not great.
Yeah, I think, well, like I said, I listened to that press conference this morning, and the only reason I do it is obviously for the benefit of this podcast. I think those quotes of the Holy Grail were slightly taken out of context, just in terms of what he was kind of meaning that most teams would love to finish third in comparison to a team like Aberdeen. Third place for them would be seen as an achievement, although he did then go on to say, given the context of our season now, finishing third would be a great achievement, which is interesting. But I was also interested by his comments that he wasn't happy at having to scramble around on deadline day to sign the three strikers he did. I'm not saying he's not happy with who he's brought in, but I feel he wasn't happy at having to conduct business at the 11th hour.
It's probably fair enough. It's never probably the ideal time to be doing it, especially to end up with three loans and given the way things are going right now. I mean, Kamberi now in the country. I know we'll speak about a bit later on, but he is now in the country, but I don't think he's able to play yet.
No.
So, it's not great when that's one assigned, especially. Deadline day business. January in general is not the ideal time to be doing business, which is why I probably feel like they probably would have rather Cosgrove went in the summer or whatever the window you would call it then. Rather than then, especially so late on in the January transfer window, and then you've got to scramble to get in three loan signings. It's not ideal. And then when it comes to it in the summer as well, we've got like Bruce Sanderson now. Then that's it. So it's not a great situation to be in. And I can understand that, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose for Bruce Sanderson, it's two assists in two games for for Aki. So maybe just trying to prove himself down there. So McInnes saying no pressure on himself and wants less pressure on the players. Pressure then. Is there pressure this weekend? That's pretty much going to be the title of this podcast.
I think pressure, what pressure, would be a good one. There will be, I think, pressure, but the thing is, it's not real pressure. It's pressure in terms of like he needs to get a result to get people off their back, but it's not really as bad as how it really would be if people were there. It will not be good if we go on to lose to St Mirren this weekend, I don't think. But at the same time, there's only so much more that we really clearly do. We all shout into an empty void that is social media, then that's it. That's all it is really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, or me and you can just shout at each other on a podcast and hope folk listening feel therapeutic afterwards. Exactly. But it's an interesting one because I would have loved to seen, had fans been allowed into stadiums, what this game would have kind of developed into. Would there have been that supportive backing to the team given the situation we find ourselves in the race for third, if that's the way we want to look at it? Or would there have been half an hour into the game, it's 0-0, things aren't going our way, we're missing chances, the boos start ringing out, here and there at missed opportunities and the team are booed off at halftime at 0-0. It would just be one of those kind of interesting things to see. But alas, no, it'll just be the misery on social media instead. Hopefully ecstasy. Yeah.
Shouting at whoever's on commentary at Red TV, basically. That is very true. I think there probably would be... Well, I think most Abbey fans obviously we'll be wanting them to win, even if Derek McInnes is in charge. So if we were there, it would be support. But I think maybe, as you say, about half an hour in, if things were just absolutely woeful, as they have been, it might then turn into a bit more sour, especially if the result doesn't go our way towards the end of the game.
Yeah. So as we come into this weekend's game, last weekend against Hibs, we tipped over 1,000 minutes without a striker scoring from open play. I think we're at 1,033 minutes since that's been achieved. Pressure on the likes of Callum Hendry then, who's, I guess, likely to lead the line this weekend, or maybe Niall McGinn, who is faced up for media duty in the press conferences.
I mean, yeah, with McInnes saying that he didn't like to be doing deals on deadline day, it's not a great situation for them coming in either, because they've got to hit the ground running, essentially, which obviously we're not seeing them do. And in a team that's not creating much, it's very difficult for them when you're trying to find your feet at a new club anyway, in a team that's not creating chances. It's not great. But it'll be interesting to see how Callum Hendry does from the start. And I think Niall McGinn up there alongside him in support is probably not a bad shout. As you said, doing media duty. I did think it was interesting that he'd just sort of been shoved in front of the camera there. So I presume he will be back in from the start involved, which I'm not against at all by any means. We're not doing much otherwise. So he's well giving him a go. He's proven. So
just hopefully he's worked on his set piece delivery from last weekend.
Oh, I hope so, yeah. If anyone could, to be honest, that would be nice.
Looking to the team news, obviously it was announced that Greg Lees has injured his hamstring, despite your claims last week that he was just being an actor.
No. Let me just say, he wasn't acting about being injured. He was just an actor. He's not actually a footballer. He's an actor under the guise of a footballer. There we go.
How does this then reflect as a signing? Obviously, there was talk last night on social media that he failed a medical at Rotherham and he's come up here and we've signed him. He's then done his hamstring. We've then extended his loan deal till the end of the season. He's gone and done his hamstring again, and now out till the season, we're left with a crocked player who's barely played a handful of games, and that's money down the drain on wages. So it's doesn't really reflect well, does it?
It's not great, no. The thing is, though, you look at it, on one side of the coin, you've got Tommy Hoban. It could have gone like the way it's gone with him, in terms of that he's basically just stayed fit throughout the whole time. And
touch wood, he continues to.
Yeah. And all that good stuff. Yeah. But then there is Greg Lee, and to be fair, I don't think he's on the same level as Tommy Hoban, so maybe it's not a risk they should have taken, but yeah, it's unfortunate it's not worked out, but probably one we should have maybe seen coming. And it's not helpful when you've got him out and then all the others you consider that are out as well. It's not good.
No, it's not. Obviously, Ryan Hedge is going for a surgery today, which is the Friday the 12th. I guess he's been predicted to be out for the rest of the season, so it'll be interesting to see how the surgery goes.
Mm-hmm.
If any chance of a return before the end of the season, but might be too late for our season's hope, depending how the next few weeks go. We've touched on, obviously, Hendry and McGinn possibly leading the line up top. That's due to Fraser Hornby coming down with a stomach bug, an illness that hasn't seen him train most of the week. And as we touched on, Flo Cambery is in the country, but hasn't been able to train because his work permit has not been stamped. So unless it's mind games from McInnes, I'm assuming Cambery won't feature this weekend either. That's got to be frustrating. Now that's 2 weeks without someone that you've signed and hoped to score goals. And we desperately need someone that can do that.
Bringing someone in on deadline day, bad enough. And giving him the amount of games he's played, you've not got a lot of time to get them up to speed. So he's missed 2 weeks from that, losing that even whatever fitness he had in that time. And then you've got, when he does come in, he's coming into a team, he's not up to speed, and we're not creating any chances for them. So, yeah, it's going to be a bit of a struggle, I think, for him to do anything, really.
Mm-hmm. Do you think as well, I was discussing this before we started recording with my colleagues about, we speak about players that are injured and missing for the rest of the season. One name that never seems to get mentioned, Mikey Devlin.
Just a forgotten man, isn't he? He really, really is. What did he play? Has he played this season? He did come in for a little bit, didn't he?
I think so.
And then it got in. Like, I think he came on as a sub, and then I think he maybe started a game, and then I think he was back out again.
He got injured in training, blocking a shot.
Yeah,
and was supposed to be out for 3 months, but he just seems to be unheard of now. Obviously out of contract in the summer. I just find it interesting. There's never an update in these press conferences about Mikey Devlin.
Yeah, he's sort of a man made of glass. But it's very unfortunate, though, as well, because on his day, he can be a very, very good defender. And unfortunately, we've not seen that enough, mainly because when he has come in, he's been out for so long that it takes a while to get up to speed, and then he's out again. But it's a bit concerning. I can't see that deal being extended at all. But no doubt he'll end up somewhere else, and then he'll probably find fitness, and he'll be fine, and then he'll just come back and we'll cry about it.
looking ahead, obviously, to the weekend, given the injuries and that, do you think we might see a change in formation? There's also been talk the last couple of weeks about changing to back fours and pushing the likes of Hayes and Kennedy up front. We've got two games. Well, this was a double game week with Celtic coming up in midweek. Do you see us changing formation ahead of Saturday?
I'd rather they did it now rather than the big games came up against Celtic and then we did it, which we have seen us do from time to time. But I don't think so. Now that Greg Lee's out, I feel like Hayes will stay in sort of that wing-back position rather than be pushed forward and having Constantine at left-back. Mm-hmm. Well, unless I suppose you maybe bring in Logan at right-back and keep Taylor and Hoban in the middle. But I suppose Taylor took that knock as well, so we'll see how much he features. I know, obviously, he played last week, but we'll see how that one's to keep an eye on as well. Yeah.
Not covered himself in glory last week either, though.
No. And I can't see him bringing in Ngwenya or anything like that for when we're on such a poor run of games. It would just be scapegoated kind of thing.
Look at Conor McLennan, though.
Yeah, true. Oh, my God. I feel sorry for that man.
Looking then towards St Mirren, coming into this fixture on the back of a 4-0 defeat against Celtic, who unfortunately are hitting a fine run of form just in time to play us. St Mirren probably feel like the scoreline flattered Celtic a bit, given 3 goals in 3 minutes they conceded, but buoyed possibly by the fact that they've won their last 2 away games, which also included that 2-1 win at Parkhead.
Mm-hmm. And a couple of decent results against us already this season too. I'm worried about this, more worried than I've probably ever been about playing St Mirren for a good time. They're creeping up. They've got a late charge towards the top six. I think they are currently sitting sixth.
They're currently in the top six with 2 games in hand over Dundee United, who are in seventh. So can almost kind of put a cement on their top six ambitions with a decent result this weekend.
Exactly.
Although we were in our work catch up, we were speaking about the odds ahead of the weekend. Mm-hmm. St Mirren just under 3-1 is quite a huge price. Mm-hmm. We're just hovering around evens, which is, I think, a bit too short for my liking. I just have no confidence in Aberdeen. One thing though in relation to St Mirren is their inability to keep a clean sheet. Mm-hmm. They've only kept one since they did so on Boxing Day against Ross County. That was a couple of weeks back against Kilmarnock. So surely that's something we should be looking to exploit. I know it's rich saying that given our lack of goal scoring in the last 4 games, but surely against a team that's conceded at will almost, we could maybe sneak a goal.
It is encouraging, that statistic, to be fair, given how little we've been scoring. Oh, I'm just getting angry thinking about it. But it's a good chance for us to go and have a go at them. I'd like to see us just go hell for leather at them and test that defence. Well, it happened, we don't know, obviously. But it's an encouraging little statistic going into the game, and they should be pinpointing that and saying, they are weak at the back. They've got threats going forward. They are weak at the back, and we could expose that, maybe clutching at straws a little bit, but fingers crossed. Everything I'm saying is just in hope. Just got no confidence about it or conviction in any way, shape or form.
They come into the game though with strikers that are scoring. John Obika, any chance for Brun to sing that song? Mm-hmm. And also Christian Dennis as well. Seems to have found some form in finding the back of the net, so they're not short of attacking threats. Mm-hmm. Although they will be missing Jamie McGrath, who mm-hmm. was injured in midweek against Celtic. And you know, I think it was Callum Shaw on Twitter saying, so, you know, it's good St Mirren will be out without him. You know, a decent player, obviously responsible for the winner in the cup game, but it just feels, and I was the exact same, you know, I'm not having a go here, you know, when I saw that he was injured, but is this what we've stooped to now, that we're celebrating players that St Mirren are going to be missing for a fixture against us?
A couple of things got to pick up on there. You said McGrath was responsible for their winner. Joe Lewis was responsible for their winner in the Cup. And strikers scoring. What the hell is that like? We wouldn't know. Yeah. But yeah, it is quite funny now, considering where we're at. We're going, yes, Jamie McGrath's out, buzzing. It sort of tells you the level we're at right now. But I'm definitely on board with it. Thank God he's out. But even still, Dennis and Obika up against our defence, I'm not confident about that.
Mm-hmm. And you look at the likes of Dylan Connolly, who's been given a chance recently, Kyle McAllister, who came off the bench to replace McGrath. Young players, determined, hungry, and quick. We saw, you look at the second goal, or actually just Martin Boyle's performance in general last weekend, mm-hmm. how we coped with quick players.
We didn't, essentially.
Yeah. But, you know, there's been a lot of talk as well, other podcasts, about Jim Goodwin's managerial ability,
mm-hmm.
And potentially a candidate for the Aberdeen job if McInnes was to leave. Do you think this is potentially a job interview for Jim Goodwin tomorrow?
That's very patronising, Glenn. How dare you? But also, I do quite like Jim Goodwin. So, and I've said that before, Jim Goodwin, McInnes outness. Get it? Mm-hmm. Funny. But no, I do quite like him. And it is probably one of the, if we're going to look around Scotland for managers, I'd probably rather him than, like, well, obviously Tommy Wright's just gone to Kilmarnock, but he was mooted for a while.
Stephen Robinson.
Yeah, and things like that. I think Jim Goodwin would be a bit more inspiring than that.
Mm-hmm. It's just an interesting point of topic. But in terms of the game itself, just hark back to McInnes' comments about the importance of third and the achievement in finishing third. Will that now be seen as an achievement, given that we're 5 points behind Hibs with a game in hand, albeit?
Against Celtic as well, though, that's the problem. If we could get third at this stage, I would be very happy with it, but also very surprised.
Yeah, there you
That's
go.
That's where I'd be. That's where I'd be right now. And considering the season Celtic have had, I am of the belief that we could have been and should have been pushing for second more than anything else. Obviously,
how dare you have ambition?
I know. Not going to get near Rangers, but at this stage, given the way how things are going right now, if you can turn it around and finish third, then I will be happy with that, clearly.
And I think, you know, if he does turn it around, that's a fine note to end on.
Yes, but I don't think we will. Again, no. I don't. If he comes back, finishes, he'll go, oh, we've got the momentum now. Into next season, the final season of his contract, and then we'll go through the pain and suffering all over again.
But looking on that importance of third, which was kind of pressed home in the press conferences yesterday. Because if the Scottish Cup this season is to be null and void, you are guaranteed group stage football in Europe
mm-hmm.
by finishing third. So from a financial viewpoint for the club just now, obviously the financial trouble maybe that's been spoken about,
mm-hmm.
I don't want that to sound dramatic about financial trouble. We're not Rangers. But just how important would finishing third be and getting group stage European football, something we continuously fail to achieve?
It would be good. Yeah, it would be good. Even if we end up in that Conference League, whatever thing, it would just be nice, wouldn't it, to be in Europe past August for once. Mm-hmm. And it'd be nice for when we get back to football as well, to be able to enjoy that, playing against these teams. Maybe not the biggest teams, it's the Conference League, but it would just be nice. I would just enjoy playing some group stage football for once.
Yeah.
And as you say, it would be good financially as well, bringing a draw. And it would be able to bring in big crowds as well, not just the prize money. It would be able to bring in some bigger crowds as well, which would probably be welcome.
Hopefully, obviously.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
If fans would be allowed back by that time. Just kind of to sum up then, ahead of the weekend, do you think home advantage will be important, or is home advantage even existent now, given no fans?
I think if you're playing well and then you're at home right now, then you're probably, okay, that's good, we're at home, that's a bit of a home advantage. But right now, there's no home advantage there at all, because we're not playing well. So I think it's no matter where it is, it's all sort of the same right now.
Mm.
Inspiring.
And then just to touch on Niall McGinn, then his comments in the press conference is that, you know, we're desperately needing some luck, you know, look at the chances McLennan against Livingston that hit the bar. Mm-hmm. I disagree with his comment about Fraser Hornby. He said, you know, if Hornby's header goes in, the game could have turned on its head and we would have gone on to win it. I don't know how he was thinking we were scoring three goals on
Saturday.
Can't
score one, mate. Like.
Yeah, that's some sublime confidence he's got in our ability. But right now, he said, you know, we would take any sort of scrappy 1-0 win. I think he's right.
I think it would very much be papering over cracks, but if we can get a 1-0 win then or whatever, and you can then go and build on it, and it just stops the rot, then that's obviously would be something. It wouldn't be, people wouldn't get off their backs because it would probably be one of the dullest games of the season. And there's been a lot, but it could be something to build off. So I agree with him in that sense.
Yeah, I think, you know, going into this run of games, the Celtic doubleheader coming up, obviously Kilmarnock in between that, but we do need something to give the players confidence and to generate some form of momentum. Obviously there's talk of the Hibs game potentially being off tomorrow. There's a pitch inspection up at Dingwall. Livingston lost last week, so didn't gain ground on us, so they've got an away trip to Dundee United this weekend. So there's maybe that feeling that if we could just get a win, maybe psychologically on the teams around us in the battle, third, fourth, we just get a little bit out of sight. You know, we talked previously about being complacent that nobody would catch ourselves in the Hibs, and it was kind of going to be a two-way battle. But other teams have momentum just now, which is something we don't.
Exactly. I think you mentioned also, I suppose, given it's just a one win, and if even it was scrappy against St Mirren as well, okay, it, like, again, not the biggest one, but they've been going very, very well, playing some decent stuff. So it would be sort of putting a little bit of distance again between us and the rest of the top six, which would be nice. And then again, you probably can take confidence from a win against St Mirren right now.
Yeah, because the last thing you want to do is lose the game at the weekend, potentially suffer defeat at Parkhead. You've then got Tommy Wright, who's going to have had a couple of weeks with his Kilmarnock team, got a good record up here. Then this whole vote of confidence and this pressure, just the key word of this podcast, jumps back on.
Exactly. It's not great, that, is it? I was hoping Alex Dyer would still be in charge of Kilmarnock and they'd still be sort of fumbling their way through the league. But yeah, it's a good point. A Tommy Wright Kilmarnock side is not great, especially right now, because they'll have a little bit of bounce from him coming in as well. And he's got a decent amount. It's like in that sort of honeymoon period where he's got a decent amount of time by then to have actually worked with him and instilled his sort of philosophy. But it's also like they've still got a new manager bounce and it's like a big change kind of thing. So yeah, that's going to be quite concerning. If we go on to lose this, zero confidence. It's already at an absolute low, but if we lose again, it's not going to be good.
It's not going to be good. And Callum, I think that kind of sums up the preview perfectly. We will be back on Saturday with our full-time reaction, hopefully. It is not another meltdown-induced podcast.
Please.
But you guys seem to be enjoying them in terms of views and listens. And once again, Callum, we'll just say thank you for the support you guys have shown to us. And thank you again to Skylix for letting us use YRA.
And of course, don't forget to subscribe with notifications on. Leave a like rating on the video. That is if you're watching on YouTube, of course. And follow us wherever else you're tuning in from.